Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome back to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. I'm Georgia Jones and I'm your host for this week. Now this week, a bit of a seasonal one, is slightly stressful, and hopefully you guys can help. Write in, let me know what you've done. But how do we deal with there being lots of Santas dotted around the place? One of my friends has mentioned it recently online, so I'm not the only one struggling with this, and I'm sure you're all having the same issue, is how do we explain to our little ones that there's more than one Santa, because they definitely don't all look the same. So yeah, that's been a tricky one for me to navigate this week. Today's guest is Lottie Drynan. She is best known for her hashtag #MyBloatedWardrobe, which was back in 2018, and that soon became viral. Now, her online journey began by sharing her struggles with IBS and anxiety, but now has made it her passion to provide uplifting messages promoting body image positivity. She has brought together a community of over 275,000 people, including a private Facebook support group with monthly events, as well as releasing a wellness journal that has been used by several thousand loyal followers. That's incredible. Welcome to the show, Lottie. Now, Lottie, if you follow her, which I'm sure majority of you listening to this podcast do, does a lot of work around bloating and how to dress for when you're feeling just like you need something loose around your tummy, right? And you know, it's so funny. I was talking to someone because I was like, it's just what every girl needs to hear is that you don't need to wear like tight. Do you remember we went through a phase where everybody would wear tight skinny jeans?
Oh, those Topshop Joanie jeans. They still haunt me.
Yeah, same. Like I think I've still got a pair in my wardrobe, and I think I just keep them there. One, for like nostalgia, and two, just to try them on occasionally and remind myself why I don't wear skinny jeans anymore. And I'm like, oh God, oh no. Like even this is an elasticated waist and it's still on the tight elasticated
size.
Looking
at that makes me bloated.
Yeah. Do you know? But it's funny, isn't it? When you wear something like tight around your middle, I think it must do something to your inside to actually...
Oh, it does. It's called tight pants syndrome. So it's actually a thing. Yeah.
It is.
So if you wear something tight, it can affect you both physically and mentally. So it can actually cause the bloating.
Do you find that like if you were to wear the wrong type of jeans, that it also really restricts your bits?
Oh, definitely.
Like, yeah, yeah. Especially if it's a strong seam.
Yeah, that is like, true.
A strong seam down there. Is
you've
not
got your front wedgie, back wedgie, belly button wedgie going on.
It's just a world of discomfort. Yes. that none of us want.
Yeah, hence why elasticated waist only for me.
Yeah, exactly. I know, I'm going to go for looser elasticated next time.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm sitting down. So Lottie has a community of over 275,000 people that follow you.
I don't know what they're doing.
Oh, well, I do. I completely understand it because I actually think I followed you before you were even a twinkle in our management's eye. Oh. Yeah, you know when you meet someone and you're like, oh my God, I feel like I know you, but I don't know you, but I feel like I do.
I love that, yeah.
And yes, you actually have a private Facebook as well that where you offer support to people, do you?
Yeah, so yeah. We've got a community called You've Got This. So sort of my page, I guess, does revolve more around sort of my life and my experiences with IBS, etc. Whereas you've got this is bringing a community of women who have everything from endometriosis, IBS, and just a really lovely support group. It's so nice, you know, people can put in, I'm feeling bloated, what do I wear? I'm going for a laparoscopy, what are your tips? So it's a really lovely little corner of the internet.
Yeah, and I remember when you got pregnant, and I think I messaged you and I was like, oh my God, this opens up so many opportunities because like of outfits that you can like post about, because like once you've had your baby and then like dressing for like, you know, when you've had a baby and you're not quite sure what to wear.
And it's the ultimate test of how bloat friendly it is, right? If it fits the bump, you're going to be all right if you're bloated.
So you already had your pregnancy wardrobe like down, didn't
you? I barely bought anything because everything I buy is elasticated. It's just the old melons.
Oh, yeah, your boobs, they were something
they
else.
They got a bit ridiculous, didn't they?
Listen, I wasn't jealous, but yeah, Lottie's boobs were, well, they are still fabulous, but goodness me, when you were pregnant, they were something else. I mean, I've never seen anything quite as big as my own head on someone's chest.
Ridiculous.
They were a wonder. The eighth wonder of the world. So, you obviously are mother now to Penny.
I am.
A gorgeous little Pen who is one. How many months is she now?
Yeah, 14 months yesterday.
Oh my gosh. I know. How time flies. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, even her party feels like yesterday, doesn't it?
I went to Penny's party. Yeah. It was lovely. You had a little garden party, didn't you?
Yeah, it was very cute. Strawberry themed garden party.
Of course. You love a theme, don't you, Lottie?
I do. I just work really well to a theme.
And you've got your house account as well. Like, Lottie is the woman that must never sleep. I don't know how you do it all. You are
ADHD.
That is how she does it all, ADHD. Anybody wondering, I'm like, I need to get myself a bit of ADHD.
You do. I've got plenty going spare, so you can take some anytime.
Oh my gosh, no. But yes, you just don't stop. When I saw you, so Lottie created this like little wall hanging, didn't you, for Penny's bedroom. And I remember following it, and it was before you'd had Penny. And I remember watching, thinking, that's not going to get finished.
No.
She's going to have the baby any day. And I'm sure you were like really pregnant.
Yeah, I was.
That baby is going to come and that is going to go out of the window. Yeah. And it did. But you did persist eventually.
I did. I think
it was finished.
Yeah, just before our first birthday. So it took a year, but I did it.
You did it. See, I'd have just thrown it. I think I'd have just gone, I can't even look at it.
Do you know what? If it wasn't for online, but I'd committed, right? Yeah. And I can't fail. So.
I feel like you do that a lot. You hold yourself accountable online and you're like, if I tell people, I am going to have to do it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. It's quite a good way.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's you that do it. Do you film yourself on time lapse if you need to clean? Like,
oh my gosh, yeah, because I'm a messy person naturally, so I just put my phone on time lapse and I'll get it done because then I won't just get distracted either by my phone. I'll get something done. I'll clean the whole house in like half an hour, like, because I'm held accountable. Sometimes I'll post it, sometimes I won't, but it's just the best technique for not getting distracted. I swear by it. And working as well.
I think I took that from you, but I set myself, just because I've not got much storage on my phone, I set myself a timer. So I was like, right, I'm going to set myself an hour. Yeah. I'm going to put that phone in a different room and I'm going to get on with this task. Because I do that. It's just procrastination. I really, really don't like that word for some reason. I don't know why. It gives me the ick a bit.
But it is best, or like doing a blast. Ross has started, or blitz, I think he calls it. And like 20 minutes, let's just go. And then it's done.
Do you know what, since becoming a mum, like, I always like would overwhelm myself at like my to-do list, because I love a to-do list, but I'd still get overwhelmed by it because I'd be like, there's no way I'm gonna get through all this. So I just like set myself like one thing, and I'm like, right, if I get that done, well done, Georgia.
Well done
you for doing that.
That's it. Like your notebooks, that's why they're so great. Like, just break it all down in that.
Oh, she's promoting
little
me.
Plug, she slipped me a fiver for that.
I'll get you another notebook coming your way. So going back to, you know, motherhood, you became a mum and all was wonderful. How was the birth? Was it easy? Was it not?
So I'll be honest, I texted you yesterday, didn't I, saying, do you have any questions? Because some podcasts work where you send questions ahead, you just have a chit chat. And you said, no, it's going to be more of a chit chat. Is there anything you don't want to go into? And I said to you, well, birth is probably the one thing. And then I thought about it and you said, oh, it was going to be on there, but no worries, we can take it off. And I thought about it and I thought, do you know what, actually, I text you back, didn't I, like an hour and a half later, like, actually keep that in, you can ask that. Because I think for me, the one thing that I would say I still very much stand by is hearing that my story probably isn't going to help other people or even myself. And I was very much, I think this for a few reasons, I was very much so in the mindset of when I was pregnant, I only wanted to hear positive stories.
Yeah.
And we've spoken about this before and you were different, weren't you?
Yes.
You wanted to hear.
I wanted to know everything, like the good, the bad, the ugly, yeah. the scary. I think because for me, that was me preparing myself, but you were yeah. the opposite.
And some people said to me, well, maybe if you listened to some negative ones, you would have maybe coped better or not felt as much of a failure. And I do totally see that. But I think knowing how my brain works, I am very much an emotional sponge and I really pick up what's around me. And I knew that if something was in my mind, I would think about that over and over. So I wanted to just hear the positive. So I'm yeah. very aware that people are different, aren't they? But when I thought about talking about it, I thought one thing, although I don't regret not listening to the, you know, I'm not even going to call it negatives, but the ones where I guess it didn't go textbook style. I guess what I do regret not learning more about or listening more about is how often it doesn't go to plan
yeah.
and how, I mean, I wasn't naive. I didn't think it was going to go like, absolutely yeah. amazing. But I think I didn't realise how birth, however it goes, is more than just that day, that one event, and how it stays with you for a really long time. And I think that includes, even if it does go positive, like my friend had such an incredible surprise home birth
yeah.
and she's buzzing from that. So again, it's not just that day and it's done. But I think then when someone does have a, whether it's traumatic or difficult,
yeah.
it really stays with you and it can impact you. And I think that's the one thing that I wish I knew about. So that's why I thought maybe it is important to talk about birth in that way, because it did, it's something that really impacted
you,
the the my start of motherhood.
I don't think people are aware that if, you know, your baby's entry to the world isn't quite like as smoothly as you'd hoped, that there are people you can talk to, you can re-go over the whole birth with your midwife, and people aren't told about this. They aren't told that they can like have a full debrief on what happened and go through your entire notes, everything, which I think is kind of like almost closure that a lot of new mums need to go, I didn't imagine that. Because when you're in the throes of it and, you know, it bloody hurts and you, there's all
chaos,
sorts. It's chaos. It's chaos.
Yeah.
Even if it goes the smoothest birth in the world.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I still feel like there's a lot of chaos. I mean, certain people might find it quite calm chaos or might be able to like meditate through it.
Oh, I mean, either way, well, however it happens, it's going to be one of the biggest things ever happens to
it,
probably
really
the
is.
Biggest
yeah.
things ever happened to your body and your mind, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It just baffles me that there's not enough or not as much aftercare. You know, all the classes before that, to be honest, I didn't really learn.
Did you do the hypnobirthing thing, or anything like that?
Not really. Only because for me, I was a bit like, no.
Are you more science?
Yeah,
well, although it is actually based on science
it
as
is,
well. Yeah,
it is.
But
It just wasn't something that I was that bothered about or that interested
really?
About. Oh, but with, you know, the classes, the NCT
yes.
classes.
Right,
it was really
yes.
nice. Really enjoyed them. You know, it was nice. But I wanted to learn like...
It's the after bit
yeah.
that would have been... So, yeah, I feel the same.
Know.
You're so prepped on this one part
one
of...
Day.
One day.
Oh,
when actually... yeah, but... Then it's just like, oh, wow. And you may even have done a bit of a class on, you know, how to change a nappy and how to do that. But actually looking after yourself, like even the bleeding in the aftercare. I was gosh, am I dying? Like, what's going on?
And your tummy afterwards.
Yeah,
you know, you're
so
still
many things.
You still look pregnant, right?
Yeah.
No one tells you you still look pregnant after you've had a baby. I was expecting it just to go, like, deflate like a balloon. But that obviously doesn't happen, silly me.
Yeah.
But I reckon I'm not the only person. And then, yeah, like the... You know, the bleed, if you've had a vaginal birth, and actually, even if you don't have a vaginal birth, you still bleed afterwards, which of course you would do, because it's all connected. But I didn't even think about that.
No.
You know, and all those things, cesareans still baffle me, because I'm like, if, like, a man was in an accident and they had stitches like that, they would be in hospital. Or a woman. Like, let's not do an injustice to men, but, you know.
Yeah.
Let's go with men.
Yeah, just men for an example.
You know, they would be in hospital for... probably 2 weeks.
And they're like, right, see you later, bye.
Okay, off you go. You can't lift your baby, but we also need you to keep it alive. So work that one out, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
If you wouldn't mind. It just baffles me. And I don't think there's enough, like, of that aftercare of, like, I feel like there should be on, I mean, it's not going to happen on the NHS, is it? But there should be, like, a therapy like class, or like, you know, you could get therapy for like the first 2 weeks. So you can just have somebody that you can talk to and tell all your irrational fears to and your irrational thoughts.
I guess that's like, because I was looking like, if we had another baby, like how could I make it maybe smoother, or get my more of my mental health side of things, because maybe that's a bit that not necessarily can control, but can try and do something that will have a really positive impact. And I found like postnatal doulas that doesn't come as part of the NHS, but I was just really interested to learn more about it.
See, and I didn't know that was a thing.
No, I didn't. I don't know how much they cost or anything like that, but I just stumbled across, and it's basically someone there to mother you as you're a mother, and they can look after you physically, mentally, just check in, because you've heard of doulas, right?
For birth.
They can be there, they like, some of them cook you dinners and all those things that, you know, so you can fully concentrate on yourself and a baby. And I just thought, wow, what a wonderful thing if you could have that.
It really is, because they're
a special
people...
job as well, like,
oh my gosh, could you imagine,
angels, like, you already feel midwives are angels, and then you have to say goodbye to them and you're on
like,
your
don't
own.
Leave me, don't leave me, yeah, I've got a job to do.
But so they could come home with you and look after you. And I just thought, wow, I'd never heard of it either.
I think it might be Mother Pucker, actually, who always said, Anna, who always says about who's the person holding the mum?
That's it.
Because everybody's there holding the baby, but the mum needs to be held. Like, that's we've just been through like the most enormous thing of our life. And we kind of get just then told to just get on with it.
Yeah.
Your mental health after Penny, how was it? It was a bit of a journey, right?
Yeah. I'd say there was like different sections to it. Mm. So do you know what? Even as I was younger, I've struggled like intermittently with my mental health as, I guess, sort of late teens, in my 20s. And so I've always had this fear. That was my number one fear of having a baby, was getting postpartum depression. Mm. And it's something that there's a history with my family, like the women in my family. So it was always a fear of mine. Mm. And when I had Penny, it was like my brain was in two parts. So I did get diagnosed with PTSD, but at the time it was just, that just came in, I guess, sort of flashes and chunks, but in general, I was in such a good way. And I look back and I don't know if that was shock, adrenaline, but also happiness. Like, I guess I was worried. One of my friends said, you know, if you don't feel that love and connection for your baby straight away, don't worry, like, you haven't, there's nothing wrong with you. It's going to come, ask for support. So I think that's what I was maybe expecting. And I was lucky and I did feel that connection straight away, and I just felt so happy to be a mum. So I was really lucky there. And I think it was for like the first 2 months, I was like putting a full face of makeup on every day. And she was newborn, getting dressed up. And I don't know if that was my coping mechanism or I don't know.
A bit of a mask that you don't necessarily realise you're doing.
Yeah,
because I was the same. Like, it took me a long time to realise that I was not coping. I wasn't happy and, you know, skipping through motherhood like everybody kind of makes out you should be doing, or, you know, the world does, like TV.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to realise. And when I finally did, and it's that moment where you kind of look back on yourself, and I feel like this is a lot of people, like, you don't realise until you're out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
That, oh God, I was not doing okay there.
I look at my eyes, I don't know if you get that.
Oh, sad eyes.
I was glazed over and I was smiling with this makeup and this beautiful baby, and I think I was not okay in that picture.
Same.
Like, ridiculous. Like,
and I couldn't, I don't know whether you were the same, but at that time I couldn't verbalise it.
Mm.
I found it very difficult to tell anybody, do you know what, I'm not okay, because I think as well you don't really know why, because like you said, you're so happy that you're a mum, like, God, you love your baby, there's all these wonderful emotions that you are still feeling, well, some of the time, not all the time, but like I was, and you said you were, but then there was this overwhelming like sadness
definitely.
As well, and like anxiety and just feeling down that you kind of just powered through with.
Definitely. And we had Penny in September. And I feel like up until around Christmas, it started off as little pockets for me of the pain.
Mm.
And then it just got big. I don't know if that's how it happened with you or it, but it just got
Mine
bigger.
Got bigger,
did
yeah.
it? Yeah, and bigger. And at first it was, it was more at night times and there were certain triggers, etc. But then it just got bigger. And I remember it was around after Christmas. And I just found myself like just sobbing and feeling so much physical but mental pain.
Like, hurts,
yeah,
it
does. And yeah, like you say, you're just like, but why?
And it's hard to verbalise it to your partner as well. Mm. You might have been different, but with Danny, he was like, well, what's wrong? Why do you feel this way? I was like, I don't know. I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel this way. And I can't seem to get myself
out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I did. And I didn't, probably should have gone on some kind of antidepressant or something at the time. But I think because I was...
But even back then, there would have been more of a stigma. Like Cooper's only, four or five, is he?
He's five.
But even back then, a lot's changed in those years, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, completely. Like, it's mad how things become more and more acceptable as time comes on, which is great for, like, our children, for the future. But, yeah, like, everyone just thought I was doing okay, and I think I made out to everybody that I was doing okay.
Yeah.
Like, the one bit of advice I would give to anybody that is feeling like that or thinks they're feeling like that, just a bit unsure of, like, what's going on with their mental health, just... vocalize it and talk to the right people as well, because like there might be somebody you say it to that's just like, oh yeah, but aren't you lucky?
I think because when you were saying like you didn't know why, how to vocalize it, I guess for me the difference I had was I had the birth that I think played a really big part, so I had something not to pin it on, but I could I could explain that a bit, like I think it's that might have happened anyway, I might have got the depression anxiety anyway. I think I had that which really helped me speak to Ross about. But yes, for friends, etc., the same, they just didn't know why it was happening. And you know what you said, like, talk to the right people. One thing I just want to say is Pandas, they're an incredible charity. I don't know if you've heard of them. So they're for mental health for parents. I don't think it's just new parents. They're incredible, and they've got like a free phone number. I guess it's similar to, you know, like how the Samaritans, you can call up and it's mental health support. It's like that, and you can just have a chat, and they just really listen and pinpoint you to the next steps. And they were who I called, one of the first ports of call. And I've had a few messages since saying I called them, and they were incredible. So they really are, if anyone's listening to this they haven't got anyone around them that they feel they can talk to, they're just incredible.
Do you have an insatiable fascination with the paranormal? Brace yourself, for the supernatural world is about to reveal all of its secrets on the Paranormal Activity Podcast. And who better to guide you through this hair-raising journey than myself, Yvette Fielding, renowned paranormal investigator. Every episode of Paranormal Activity takes you on an unforgettable adventure into the unknown. But that's not all. The true heart of this podcast lies in the stories, evidence, and questions shared by our devoted listeners. Will you dare to join me? Listen to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It's quite nice sometimes speaking to somebody that's just not connected to your life in any way.
Definitely.
That can just give a completely, you know.
Yeah. And I think we often non-bias. Feel like a burden as parents, don't we?
Absolutely.
So you're not a burden, but you're not going to feel like it with someone that's totally impartial.
Yeah. Well, I do it with Danny. Like, you know, there'll be something that's like worrying me or stressing me out, or, you know, and I won't tell him because I don't want to worry him.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And he'll go, and then he'll be annoyed that I've not told him. And then he's just spiraled because I'm like, oh, but now he's mad at me. And I'm still worried. So this didn't benefit anybody. And I've had to suffer in silence for like the last however long.
Yeah.
And it's mad. Like, you do it. But at the time, and I do it with my friends as well, my friends always know when I'm not myself because I retract.
Yeah.
And it is. It's like our coping mechanisms. We go into like I don't know, into like a shell.
Hibernation. Yeah.
Like snail. I'm like a snail. I retract into my shell if anything goes wrong. I'm like, okay, goodbye world. See you all. See you when this is all sorting itself out. I don't know how it's going to happen because I'm not talking.
When I come back, this better be okay. Yeah.
Somebody work this out for me, please. Yeah. If you wouldn't mind. Moving on to something that's slightly less heavy. That is something I'm so happy we talked about because honestly, I feel like that's going to help so many people. But going back to the whole, you know, IBS bloating side of things, your IBS changed when you were pregnant, didn't it?
Oh my gosh, it was a dream. It pretty much, well, the first sort of 10, first trimester, really, it was like a lot of bloating, which is, I think, really common
normal,
anyway, isn't it, for pregnancy. So I was like, oh, great, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah.
But then it went away.
Yeah.
It was amazing. So the baby stem cells that helps repair your stem, I can't remember the science behind it, but it can help with intolerances. So
yes.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know, I've heard so many people that are like, I wasn't intolerant throughout my entire pregnancy.
I was eating tubs of Ben and Jerry's. I was so excited. Like, honestly, it was amazing.
Because you've got a few intolerances, haven't you?
Yeah, which would normally kick my IBS off. Like, I'd be on the toilet for days normally with a bit of Ben and Jerry's. Yeah. It was amazing. Like, I was living my best life.
Oh, I bet you were.
Yeah, and just, I just felt so much more settled in my tummy. And I know, obviously, you're physically growing, but you know the feeling of bloating where it's like, I was described as like a basketball under your skin. It's so tight.
So uncomfortable.
And you, like I didn't have that. And it was, I had a lovely night. And actually, even after pregnancy, I'd say for probably at least, it must have been at least 4 months of pretty much no symptoms of IBS.
Really?
And now they've come back.
And then they've come
vengeance.
Back.
Oh, the past month and a half.
Love that for you.
Yeah, no, really, really great. Thanks.
But isn't it amazing like how incredible women's hormones are? That they can completely change.
Yeah.
Like what we can eat and
our bodies are amazing. I would have just like appreciated it. Just give me a year. I didn't have quite of a year, but a bit longer. Come on,
just let me enjoy my Ben and Jerry's just for a tiny bit. Tiny bit longer, please. I wonder whether any part of like the not feeling as bloated as well, because I was the same. Like I feel like a lot of people do this without realizing, but they like hold their tummies in.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do it, and sometimes I think, right, if I was to sit here and like fully like relax my tummy out, that is not how I go through life.
No, we're always sucking in.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like when you're pregnant,
you let it out, and it's lovely, isn't it?
And also, you know, it's kind of much more acceptable to like fart when you want, because she's pregnant.
Yeah,
so
oh bless her. It was
she's
a baby. What's she like? That's so cute. If I sat and farted now, you'd be horrified.
Exactly. But if you're pregnant,
like, oh bless you, darling. Yeah.
Oh, are you okay? Yeah. Do you want to pause for a minute? She's pregnant. It's fine. but yeah, I feel like that does have a part to play in it a lot. How did you feel like any different in terms of like body confidence when you were pregnant?
Yeah, and do you know what? I'm almost not annoyed with myself because it's not my fault. Like we all know, it's like diet culture. And,
but
it was the most confident I've ever felt, I think, being pregnant. Mm. And I think a lot of it is because, like I said in a post recently, like the only time I've ever worn a bodycon dress. Is
oh, I
either,
saw this.
Did you see it? Is either when I was like literally starving myself.
Yeah.
Or when I was pregnant.
Same.
And I hate that. Like that it takes, I've been ill or growing another human being for my body to be accepted.
Mm.
Like sometimes I look at my belly now and think, well, I look more pregnant than I did when I was pregnant. But yet then people would think, oh, she's got a lovely bump.
Mm.
But if I just, you know, wore a bodycon now, people would think, oh, that's not flattering.
And it's sad, isn't it? Like it's really sad, but we're all conditioned that way. We have grown up to be that way.
I think that is the perfect and only type of body. Whereas I said, can we all just make a pact to say, do you know what? Hardly any of us have a flat stomach or whatever it may be, the perfect boobs, curves, bum, stomach, like that doesn't exist, right? So if we all just make a pact that our bodies all look different, we can just go around in body con dresses, feeling amazing, feeling so comfortable.
Because they're comfortable.
Yeah.
Because unless you're conscious in them, because when you're conscious in them, you suck,
then that's
you
what
suck
makes
yourself
you feel
in. Yeah.
Exactly. And let's also, whilst we're there, make a pact to stop asking if people are pregnant.
Oh,
because
yes.
I think that's what people said to me, because I set myself a challenge of trying to wear body con.
Yeah.
And that is the number one thing that stops me and so many people. Mm. People say, ask if you're pregnant. I'm like, God, we're in 2023. How are people still asking this question?
Yeah, how do people not know that is something that just shouldn't be asked?
Yeah.
Because there's a whole plethora of reasons why that question just shouldn't be asked to anybody.
But I'll tell you, or I'll wear a baby on board bag.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless I've got either of those things sharp.
Yeah, don't talk to me. Yes. Yeah. I'm happy in my body con. Leave me alone. But yeah, so it is. It's sad that you do, because I was the same. Like, I've never worn so many tight clothes when I was pregnant. Because it's weird. It's almost like, oh, it's acceptable because she's got a baby.
And it feels lovely, doesn't it? Like, you're proud. And like, it's really wonderful. And didn't you find everyone was so nice to you when you're pregnant?
Oh my God, it's like you're a celebrity.
Yeah, and then you have this baby and no one gives a shit.
Yeah, you're like, great, so now I've got depression and now you don't care. Where are you all now? When I need you. Yeah. come and stroke my hair and tell me I look beautiful. Please. Yeah. Tell me I'm glowing. I'm not grey. That's when you need the people the most to be like, you're amazing.
Yeah, I know I'm amazing when I've got this pump, but now I don't.
Exactly. It's funny. It's messed up, really, isn't it? Like, how the pregnancy world works. And then afterwards, a post-pen, how did you change about your body? Because I've got a feeling of how I changed. Did you look at yourself in any different way?
Do you know what? I thought I was going to be a lot more focused on how my body looked. And you know, I've always struggled with body image, and it's definitely improved in the years. And I think doing this job as well was, you know, you almost fake it till you make it. I would talk about body confidence, and over the years that has helped me more and more so for that just to become my norm of thinking. So I think that definitely helped. But I remember it must have been a couple of months later, thinking, someone asked me about how I felt about my body, and I thought, do you know what, I haven't actually really thought about it in terms of being mine. And I don't know whether that's sad or natural, or I know a lot of women have felt it too. And I just felt like it was almost a machine, I think, because I was breastfeeding, that probably played a part in it. But I just felt like it was something there to do a job, and it wasn't even there to be mine. And I just felt very disconnected, but not in a, I wouldn't even say in a bad way.
No.
If anything, it was quite freeing that for once I wasn't thinking about how I looked. So it was like that, but it's taken a while now, and I am still breastfeeding, so I do still think, you know, my boobs are they're pennies.
That's it. I found this after I'd had Cooper. Like, I almost desexualized my body. I was like, I can't see this as a sexual vessel anymore.
No.
This is a child making feeding machine.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And you kind of almost like, oh God, the fact that anyone ever looks at my boobs.
Don't look at my milk machine.
Yeah, I'd say it. Child feeds off me. It's disgusting.
Exactly that, yeah.
And you're just a bit like, oh God, there's more to bodies than pleasure.
And that is fascinating, right? Because you're going through seasons of your body serving you in different ways. And I think that's amazing. But also I think that you get to a point where you want to connect again.
Yeah.
And I guess in the past few months, I think especially around Penny reaching one, that seems like a milestone, right?
Yeah,
doesn't it?
It is.
And I think if I'm honest, I have definitely become a bit more conscious. And, you know, it's in the back of your mind, as much work as you do. You know, I remember reaching 9 months, because people said to me at the beginning, oh, don't worry, 9 months in, 9 months out. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm 9 months out. And should I be looking the same as I did before?
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely don't. And I think that's always in the back of your mind. And I can push it away, and I know I can question my thoughts and like, well, why do you think that? Like, you know, the answer always goes back. But I think that, now I'm ready to feel more connected to it. It's no longer just serving its purpose for my baby. It's mine again.
Yeah.
And I think that's really lovely, but comes there comes new challenges with it.
Yeah, and I think it should be made like the norm when we're kind of like almost like reclaiming our bodies back, you know, as ours, and babies had what they needed, and
yeah,
it's time for us to like wean them.
No chance of Penny. Oh my god.
She loves your boobs just as much as the next person. Yes. Right? Good girl. What we shouldn't feel, and this is where I think there's a lot of stigma, is that it's a bad thing that we want to like make our bodies strong again, you know.
Yes.
Because the thing is, you go through birth and it's a lot on your body, you probably don't look after yourself. We're exhausted. We can't be bothered to, like, you know, I worked out so much when I was pregnant, which I loved.
I
really enjoyed doing it. It was good for my mental health and it was good for me as a pregnant woman. Each to their own.
Like,
I wouldn't.
No, I was a sloth, so I don't relate. But
exactly. But we're friends.
I think first trimester, I remember downloading one of the apps, and I was like, I want to feel strong. Like it was for strength and stuff.
After and you was like,
I don't know if I can swear, but I was like, F this.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the thing. And like, this is what's so lovely about, you know, mothers, especially, and accepting mothers, is that we are all so different.
Yeah.
And everybody's journey, no matter how similar, is still different.
Yeah.
And I remember that. And then afterwards, like, I just didn't have anything in me to do that exercise like I used to. And I missed it.
Mm.
And I'm getting it back. But part of me that feels like me getting fit again is seen as a negative thing.
Really?
And it's like, you know, the whole awful term of like snapping back or pinning back or whatever it is. And then she's got a pre-baby bod back. And I'm like, there's never a pre-baby bod.
No.
That you're getting back.
So
because
so many ways. Yeah.
Everything is different. Like your pelvic floor.
Oh my gosh, I think I've wet myself already sitting here.
Good, me too.
No, that's true. But yeah, I think what I really pulled out of that, what you were just saying, is the like, for me, I want to feel strong again. Like, I really want my body to, I don't even care about how it looks, but I want that strength back. I think, like you say, for your mental health, to do it for you, like, whether that's getting out to walk, but like, you know, I really try to get out to walk with Penny, especially when I was like in the thick of it.
Yeah.
But that in itself was difficult. But now, actually, do you know what? I want to go to work out like on my own and have some me time and do so. I used to love it. I loved it. It made me feel good. It just feeling strong.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's
strong.
Like being a woman as well. And you think like, oh, I want to be able to
wrestle a man off.
Exactly.
Self-defense.
Exactly. I'm going to do it.
Got power.
And like, you know, I remember when we moved in and I used to go to the gym a lot. Ross's dad was like, oh, done. Don't worry. Don't pick that up. I was like, no, I will do it.
Like, I can pick this up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, take that.
Yeah.
I want to feel like that. It's really empowering, isn't it?
It is. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a stronger version after having the, you know,
I guess it's a question I often ask myself is like, why are you doing it? Are you doing it for you?
Mm.
And that's, you know, that's the same with anything. Like people say, oh, are you anti-weight loss? Absolutely not. I'm anti-diet culture.
Yeah.
I'm anti-snapback culture. You know, you can talk about any sort of topic. Mm. You talk about Botox or anything like that. If you're doing it for you, to make yourself feel better, not because you're trying to fit into society norms, expectations or somebody else.
Trends.
Yeah. If you're doing it to make you feel, then albeit to you, it's your body.
Absolutely agree. I'm like, look, listen, if you want to do it, you do it.
Yeah.
And sod the people that judge you, because well, they're obviously very unhappy with themselves to want to pick on you for something.
And I guess the same way, if you don't want it, like I haven't wanted to do it up until now. That's fine.
That's absolutely
like,
fine.
I am happy living my best sloth life.
Exactly.
Life is exhausting. You're picking up any bit of crumbs that you can sometimes for food, like you're in this blur.
Yeah.
And so I think
you've got to do what gives you joy. You've got to do what makes you happy, ultimately.
Yeah.
I noticed as well that after having Cooper, that my body didn't go back to what it was in terms of my skeleton. So my
hips and ribs
are completely different sizes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm really confused because like I'm actually the same size now, but the jeans don't fit the same. And I'm like,
you changed. I never had hips until having Penny.
Same.
You know, yeah.
I developed curves.
I loved it. I remember. Yeah. I was Penny, you know, you still kind of look pregnant. You've got your sort of pregnant belly, but I was like, What are these curves? Hello. Yeah, I loved it.
So did I. And you know what I've noticed as well, which I don't mind so much, and I think a lot of people try to lose this, and there's been a lot on social media actually about this is part of your anatomy, is my womb pops out more now. It's not as like...
I mean, I can't tell. I've got a fluffy belly keeping it nice and safe, but I have...
Could be blood.
Well, yeah. But yeah,
I can really see it more now. And there was a thing, quite a few influencers do things about it.
Yeah, I've heard this is part of your body. Some parts, some like bits be dismissed about the uterus, but I don't know factually. But yeah, people see a lot of changes. So it's so interesting.
Is there anything like you would want to kind of tell yourself now, now you've had Penny, and just be like, look, listen, don't worry about this, or this will happen, and you need, you know, it'll all be fine. Is there anything, like, any bit of advice you'd give to yourself, knowing now? I've put you on the spot here. It's hard to look back,
isn't it? Because you would do so many things differently. I always think that if we had a second, there'd be so, I'd feel so much more comfort in just letting it be. Do you know, all the things you stress about, the should they be contact napping? Should I be doing this? Like, should I be running around making the house tidy, like, whilst they're napping? I wouldn't have cared about those things. But I guess the biggest thing was you haven't failed if it isn't going how you expected it to be. And I really do think that, you know, I'm not special here. Most people can say, even if it wasn't the birth, it wasn't the like first part of the postnatal period, most people can say this isn't how I expected, and there are things that are harder and some things that are even better. I didn't expect the pure joy. If I'm honest, I didn't expect to love motherhood quite as much as I did. I wanted to be a mum and I was so excited, but I have never experienced joy like it, and I feel so grateful. And actually, sometimes when I talk about like going through it, the really difficult postpartum, like the depression, I think in a way, obviously I don't wish I'm not glad I went through that. But if I can take a positive from that, is now, I think I was saying this to you this the other day, even the, I don't want to say mundane, but just the normal, just the sitting with Penny with her blocks, and it sounds silly, but not feeling sad, not sobbing, not thinking, how am I going to get through this day? That feels euphoric, to just feel okay, normal. Just to feel normal. It is literally like being in a movie. I feel so happy to just not feel sad.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. So I guess if anyone's listening to this and thinking, I'm in the depths of it, I'm really at my lowest point, like, you will get out of
you
it.
You will.
And like, I remember looking at people's, I was trying to desperately find on Instagram and TikTok, like, reels, and I'd think, yeah, but maybe they don't feel as sad as me. Maybe they don't feel, they're not quite as low, like, but no, that, like, you will get out of it, and ask for help.
Yeah.
However that help looks, whether that's talking to a friend, calling Pandas, taking medication, asking for a debrief, therapy, whatever it may be, because we can create our village in lots of different ways.
Absolutely. And none of it is failing. You have never, as a mother, failed.
No. Yeah.
You've just got to get through it any way that you can until you reach the other side. And you will, won't you?
And, you know, I remember thinking, like, people would say, you've got this. And I think, I actually haven't bloody got it, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I haven't got this, but I am going to get this back.
I'm not coping, but I will at some point.
Cope. Exactly.
Yeah. And you will. You will see the brighter days. And sometimes what it does, and I think this happened with you, like you're saying, just sat playing with Penny with her blocks, it suddenly springs on you and you go, oh my God, I'm really enjoying this little moment here.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is a feeling.
Is this how it was supposed to
feel? Yeah, this is how it was supposed to feel.
And that's not to say it's now like bloody smooth. No. Like, of course
it,
not.
It never is, because what kids like to do is throw curveballs every 5 minutes. So yeah, never smooth. But you know, we'll get through it. But Lottie, thank you so much. Incredible chatting to you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.